Friends are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, and we are in the new Lyric Theatre, which actually officially opened in Belfast 2 years ago. Well, actually on the 1st of May of 2011. Although the Lyric Theatre itself is 50 years old, and it is an amazing place. But we have somebody here who is still rehearsing, just finished rehearsals a few minutes ago here at the Lyric, and he is Adrian Dunbar, renowned Northern Irish actor, best known for his TV and theatre work. Adrian, you're very welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
You write, you act, you direct. And, of course, many people would know you, of course, from you wrote Hear My Song.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. That reminds me of watching the Bill Cosby show one day, and he had somebody on, and he turned to this girl, and he said, "So what do you do?" And she says, "Well, I'm a choreographer, and I also write and act and produce." And he said, "Out of work, huh?" So it does, you know, but it just does seem these days that, if you can do a number of things, it's a good idea to do a number of things. And, you know, the variety is something that that I've always liked, the fact that I can go through the different disciplines.
Right. And, of course, for, your movies and your screen, The Crying Game.
Yeah, I've done a lot of very, very wonderful.
Wonderful.
I've been very lucky to do, you know, The Crying Game and My Left Foot and The General and some
Eye
really
of the Dolphin.
Eye of the Dolphin, some very good Irish films and
Good Vibrations.
And Good Vibes has just come out, yeah. So there's been Mickey Bo and Me and films like that. So I've been lucky on the film front, and I've done some excellent TV work. I just finished production for the BBC called Line of Duty, which you may get in the States at some time, which is a very powerful piece. We're on our second series of that. It's the police investigating the police, so that's quite exciting. And but then, you know, here I am at the Lyric, and as you said, it's a very beautiful place. A few years ago, I did a rehearsed reading at the National Theatre in London of a new play by Janet Behan, based on the book Brendan Behan's New York, and it was in a very seminal stage. And
Janet being Brendan's
niece.
Yes.
Yeah. Her father was Brian Behan.
Yeah.
So I said I asked the National were they doing anything with it, because I thought there was definitely a play there, and still unformed, but definitely a play. And so I went round to Janet's one day with a big cake and sat down and said, any chance of us working on this, Janet? And we did. In a couple of years, we worked on it. And eventually, we did a couple of rehearsed readings. And then we put it on at the Riverside Studios in London. And then a couple of years later, I was able to take it here to Belfast, where it was a bit of a hit. And I talked to the guys here. And, of course, the Lyric Theatre in Belfast would not have been built if it hadn't been for the generosity of a lot of our American patrons. I'd like to pay a little bit of say a little thanks to them if they're listening. And you know, a lot of people like Loretta Glucksman and Liam Neeson and people like that, New York in particular, were very instrumental in helping us put the theatre back together again. It's an amazing new theatre.
Mm-hmm.
We were a hit, and we said to the guys, "Listen, why don't we say thanks to all these people who gave us some money by taking the play to New York, where we can have a bit of a few nights out and some fun, and maybe just, you know, be in the presence of Brendan again, after the event." And so that's how it's come together. It's always been our ambition to take the play to New York. The play is set in the Chelsea Hotel.
Yes.
It's based on a wonderful book called Brendan Behan's New York. And I don't know how the New York audiences are going to react to it. I think they're going to react well. It's a bit of a eulogy to the city. He loved New York.
Absolutely.
You know, he did love it. It was like his second home. I think it's where he wanted to really be in the world. He wanted to be in New York. He wanted to be out of Dublin. He wanted to be mixing with New Yorkers. He found it a very egalitarian city. He loved all that kind of, you know, the openness of it, and the fact that there were all these people from all over the world and all rubbing shoulders with one another in the same bars and on the same street corners. And so, you know, it's...
And some of his observations were just so really not only colorful, but they were true for the time.
They were true for the time, and sometimes Brendan was the first guy to say some of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, things that we take for granted about, you know, sayings about New York.
Yeah.
It was Brendan who was identifying some of these things as a great. And also, of course, you know, he was the first person to put ordinary people on the stage talking about the big ideas.
Right.
Up until that point, it had been the preserve of the middle classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brendan decided that, of course, ordinary people talk about, you know, issues like, you know, capital mm-hmm. punishment and, you know, all that sort of
yeah.
stuff. So he put those things on the stage. And also, as Norman Mailer quite rightly said, it was the opening of the hostage in New York that gave the whole Beat movement legitimacy. Because he was also, he was down there in the Bowery with Kerouac and Ginsberg and all
mm-hmm.
those guys. And, you know, he was somehow part of that movement within New York at the time. And because he achieved success, it gave it a kind of legitimacy that it didn't have before. So we're hoping that, you know, Brendan returning to New York in this way might stimulate a little bit more interest in that particular movement, which, to my opinion, was the last time that, you know, America was really great in that literary sense, where
yeah.
you had all these kind of young Turks, you know, writing from a real sense of social interest and interest in humanity and, you know, wondering where the great experiment of America was going. So,
yeah.
So you know, it's exciting times for us.
And the cast, you're bringing the cast with you. Actually.
I'm bringing the cast with me, and yes, I have Pauline Hutton's coming with me, who's playing Beatrice, who's been in the U.S. before, and Richard Orr and Chris Robinson and a young actress that we just found called Samantha Pearl is coming with us, and so we got a nice cast.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a one-man show. A lot of stuff about Brendan tends to be one-man show. Because
yeah,
he was,
yeah.
let's face it, a bit of a one-man show. But this has got the cast. It's got. It's based on fact. It's based on what was happening to him. He was living in the Chelsea Hotel.
Yes.
You know, there was a young black girl dancer looking after him at the time.
Yes.
You know, he did make friends with George Clesinger, who was upstairs, who composed Toby the Tuba. They were good buddies, and he used to come down and see him. So, I mean, it just sounds like it is kind of like a Brendan Behan
right.
play.
Yes.
There's a lot of disparate people all together in the one room.
Now, this the play is actually, not only is it Brendan at the Chelsea, but it's towards the end of his days. He was falling apart.
Yeah, he was falling apart. I mean, it's really at the end of his life. After he left New York, he knew that if he went back to Dublin, he'd die.
Yes.
He just knew he couldn't handle it in Dublin, whereas he felt he had some kind of a chance of staying off the wagon. And let's not forget, you know, just prior to 1963, Bill W. and the Oxford set had got together and decided that they were going to put this thing together called AA,
uh-huh.
you know, one of the greatest social movements of
yeah.
the 20th century.
Friends of Bill.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly right. And so Brendan was in the right place at the right time to maybe get some help with this disease.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, circumstance meant that Beatrice arrived back, brought him back to Ireland.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he died soon afterwards because, you know, Dublin was just, it was
yeah.
impossible for him not to kind of get out there and drink and for the whole thing to fall apart. So
yeah.
we're looking at a man at the end of his days, but...
We're also looking at a man who had 6 months to live and 2 years later he was, you know... if anything, he was smirking somewhat about his longevity, his ability to rise above expectations. A typical Behan interpretation about
that's
morality
right.
is, you know, immortality.
Right. And mortality.
And
yes.
mortality.
Yes, as he says, they said to him, you know, Brendan, when did you decide to give up drinking? He says, well, they told me I had only 6 months to live. I have, of course, almost superhuman powers of recuperation, but I decided not to push me bloody luck.
We are looking forward very much, Adrian Dunbar, to having it for a month. That's quite a stretch.
Yeah, no, it's
know,
a good. We've got a good run, and we're
yeah.
going to be in Theatre Row on 42nd Street and 9th Avenue.
Yeah.
And
in the Acorn Theatre.
In the Acorn Theatre.
Yeah,
and
on West 42nd.
Uh-huh.
And the opening is September 5th.
Yeah.
And you run through Sunday, September 29th. Now, we do know that there's a website, which is Lyric Theatre. That's R-E, by the way. That's Lyric, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, .co, .co, UK.
That's the one.
Our guest, Adrian Dunbar. We're going to be seeing a lot of you.
Well, I hope
New
so.
York.
I hope so. I'm going to be all over the place. We're going to hit all the bars. We're going to, you know, have a go at
We're not going to be able to do that in a month.
No, we're not going to be able to do that in a month.
Even Behan couldn't do that in a month.
Even Behan couldn't do that. Well said, Adrian, well said. But we will hit some of his haunts, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, good luck to you, and we'll see you very shortly.
See you, McSorley's.
Thank you.